Welcome to the Money Rules Podcast, where we tackle your personal financial matters with leading financial advisors. Your host, Boitumelo Ntsoko.
Today we're discussing a topic that often sends shivers down investor spines: market corrections. What are they? How should we react to them? And can they actually present opportunities for savvy investors? Alka Brink, a wealth advisor at PSG Wealth, is joining us today to discuss this important subject. Welcome, Alka.
Thank you so much for having me.
Before we start, please don't forget to follow us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, share this podcast with your friends, and download our episodes for easy listening on the go. Alka, let's start with basics. Can you explain what a stock market correction is and how it differs from other market falls, such as bear markets?
Yes, let's maybe start with the concept of the different cycles. So unfortunately, one of the less fun parts of being invested in the stock market is that there are different cycles. They are completely normal. It's absolutely the nature of the stock market. Not every day is a positive day. And we need to manage these different ups and downs. So in principle, if we look at a calendar year, what is quite interesting, only around 50% of those days are positive in the market, roughly. So it's definitely not always a positive day. And these ups and downs that happen on a daily basis look different. So on most days during the year, it would be, for example, a percent up, tomorrow is a 0.5% down. Then it's 2% up, then it's 0.5% down. So not major movements, but daily movements. Then we get larger movements that happen every now and then. So a correction is defined as a downwards 10% movement, or more than 10%, but not more than 20%. If it moves into the space that it's more than 20%, then it's defined as a crash. So that's not a fun word to hear, but again, very normal. So corrections typically around 10% movement. This can happen in history. It normally happens roughly every 18 months. So it's actually quite often if you would think of how often you experience this. It doesn't always feel so often when it happens, but they do happen quite often. And they are quite important in terms of what a correction means, is that it's, of course, the emotional effect as it happens in the market, but there's almost a feeling or requirements in the market that the assets that we are investing in need to reprice and restructure. So we had a really great experience of this in this week, where there has been significant returns in the American market, especially in the technology sector. So more than 50% of the growth in the American market in the last year was just due to technology stocks. So if we were to take them out of the market, it actually doesn't look so great in the American market. But these stocks now, because they are earning these significant returns, they are also very expensive. So it just starts running too far almost. So for a really good company, you're almost paying a little bit too much. So the expectation is that at some point, these valuations or the price you pay for the ownership of the stock needs to come down a bit. And that's typically when a correction happens. There are always leading factors that lead to it, which can be many different things. And that's where I think the emotional impact comes. So, for example, in this week, which was quite interesting, is I think the cycle we are in the market, that the world is waiting for interest rate cuts, and they are quite desperate for it at this stage after the whole pandemic and the high interest rate, high inflation era we are in. And last week, when the US decided to not cut rates, he basically restructured and advised that the first rate cut would only be in September. So the market didn't like that very much, and it dropped into a correction. But corrections can never be specifically timed. We never know how far or how long they're going to move. And it was quite interesting in terms of the emotional impact. The market actually recovered most of it the next day. So it's not necessarily always just a downward spiral. But it's important to understand when it's correction phases. And then there are also larger cycles, for example, a bull market or a bear market. And that is when it's typically mostly upward trends in the market for many years. Bull markets typically last much longer. So the positive markets last longer than bear markets. Bear markets are much shorter, but they are the less fun cycles to be in.
So what usually causes a stock market correction?
Normally, any major market movement is due to uncertainty. The market doesn't like uncertainty. So this can be different things. In this scenario, I think the trigger was definitely the delay in interest rate cuts, which I do think the world is anticipating in terms of just the average consumer and, of course, the average business being less constrained in this high interest rate, high inflationary environment. But together with that, that can be anything. It can be a war. It can be something like the pandemic that happened. That was more of a market crash, but anything that we really don't see coming. So if there's anything that is really predictable or something that is in the news, typically, normally the market prices in the effect of it. So one example at the moment, which is actually really sad, but it's the reality of it, with all the conflicts or the wars that are going on in the world, the market is actually not reacting very much to it. So it's almost a known factor now, where should something happen that is completely unknown, so let's maybe refer to the almost assassination of Trump or something like COVID, is that it's a completely out of the blue happening and the market doesn't like that. So that would normally react quite quickly to either a correction or even a crash.
You mentioned that corrections happen about every 18 months or so. What does the historical data tell us about them?
So historically, what is quite interesting is that both on the local market, but especially on the offshore one, they happen typically every 18 months. And then it's around this type of movement. So there's almost a reprice needed because previous to the 18 months, of course, the market is just running. So it's just going well. And there needs to be a bit of a repricing in terms of these assets. And I think that always remains an important principle when we look at what's the concept of the market. And I think that's where safety also comes in terms of your mindset, even if there is movements or there are volatilities, that you are essentially owning a little bit of a company that is extremely well researched, and they probably do very well. So they're some of the top companies in the world. So it doesn't mean that the company you're owning is now all of a sudden in troubles. They still have a really good business plan, good management, very strong earnings reports. So the analysts will typically not invest in these companies if the company is not a very secure company or sector. So not losing sight of that. So sometimes if there's a correction, it doesn't mean that the equities you are invested in or the sectors you are invested in are not still doing fine. It's sometimes merely an emotional reaction. And typically when there are these larger movements in the market, that's actually the ideal time to buy more. So you are getting the opportunity to be in the market, buy a ownership of a very good company at a cheaper price.
Alka, how crucial is diversification during a market correction?
Diversification is one of the things that will protect you the most, I think, throughout your investment lifetime. And there's a very good reason why we want to do it. And I think the word is so overused that investors sometimes become tired of it. But there's a very good reason for diversifying, not only with equities, but also with asset classes. That typically softens the volatility effect or the effect that you don't feel the correction or even a crash as much. So the first point of diversification is firstly with asset classes. So you typically, in any portfolio, always want some cash, some bonds, and then, of course, equity exposure, both local and offshore. And the percentage splits between these asset classes will move around depending on where the world is at, where the markets and the interest rate cycles are at. But the asset classes should not be seen as an alternative for another. They all play a different role in the portfolio. Cash and bonds typically play a more conservative role, where the equities are the very important ones in terms of your above inflation growth, but they are also the volatile ones. So the conservative asset classes, again, balance out the volatility feeling you get. And then also in terms of equity, it's very important to not be too exposed to one share. And this is not always possible. Let's say, for example, you work for a company where you have share options and you're very exposed to that one company. So there are ways to hedge against that. But in principle, it's important to be very well diversified with different sectors and, of course, with different underlying equities. So should there ever be one company that either just reaches the plateau in growth or something that's unforeseen, then you are very well protected by having exposure to other equities. So just being clear of not just having five single stocks in your portfolio, as you are just raising your risk and your volatility much higher, where if you follow a more diversified approach, you just do better. You have a more consistent return, a less volatile return, and you're also benefiting from different cycles. So certain sectors, of course, do very well in certain economic cycles. And then there's, of course, always change in the world. So if we really look at the listings on the JSE as well as the S&P 500, they are companies we are investing in today that didn't exist 30 years ago. So the nature of investing changes, and I think that's where your portfolio also needs to keep up with the change.
Besides diversification, are there other actionable tips on preparing portfolios for a market correction?
I think in principle, it's important to have a very well thought out and well strategized portfolio. So there should be a reason behind everything what you have. And then I think if the strategy is very clear, then the corrections or even crashes shouldn't bother you, because then you are prepared for them. So, for example, the cash and bond exposure in the portfolio is typically there for if you have any short-term needs, you would live off this or withdraw from these components. You don't live off equity exposure. So if the equity market is going through a cycle, it doesn't really affect your needs. And I think that's important. So the only time investors ever have a bad experience in the market or get financially hurt is if there is a downward cycle. And during the downward cycle, you disinvest, then you realize your losses. So you typically want to give your equity exposure the opportunity to recover. And we never know how long that will be. It might be one day, but it might be 1 month. So knowing that the role the equities play and the stock market plays in your portfolio is always a bit of a longer term mindset. You need to be able to wait it out if there's a longer than anticipated cycle. And I think there it's always important to look at the history of the market again, and that's how we typically build our portfolios. If you look at the largest crash in history, the recovery that came with it, the duration of this whole process, this was many years ago in the 1940s, basically with Spanish flu and everything that came with it. The total process took 20 months, which is actually not very long if you think in the biggest scope of the average investor would probably be invested for 6 years. So just building in enough cash and bonds for whatever your shorter term needs are that you don't have to realize any losses in your equity portfolio.
Okay, another question that comes to mind is about the psychological impact of market corrections. How should investors manage their emotions during these times?
I think that's the part where investors hurt themselves the most. And I think, of course, for no investor, it's fun. It's not even fun for us working with this every day to see a lot of red on your screen. So the most important thing when we move through these type of cycles is to do nothing. And this doesn't mean there isn't a very active management approach to your portfolio. So if we need to change exposure to something or change a manager or change a specific stock, for example, we're going to do that anyway. But to be careful, if the market starts going down, to not then get scared and either make a withdrawal or tend to switch to cash. That's how you get hurt. And I think the emotion there is quite important to almost not look at the market. So let's use this week as an example. So on Monday, the S&P 500 was 3% down. Everything was red in the market. And now we're basically 2 days later and we're almost back where we were before the movement on Monday. So there's so much movement that happens in 3 days. If you made an emotional decision on Monday, you would have just been fine 2 days later. So that's quite important. But yes, some of these downturns do last longer. They last a few weeks or they last a few days. But to not make a decision then, to trust your strategy and to know why are you invested in what you are and what is the plan that your advisor has should you not be invested in the optimal thing. Because if you know you're in the right place, then you can ride the waves much easier and with more peace of mind.
Before we wrap up, do you have any final thoughts for our listeners?
Yes, I think in terms of an investment portfolio, even if you understand finances and you understand the markets very well, I mean, every individual can understand this very well by reading a lot and knowing what's going on in the world. But taking a step back from your own funds is sometimes more valuable in terms of the emotional impact. So I would always recommend for any investor to have an advisor or a team of advisors on your portfolio, as when it gets tough emotionally, it sometimes helps to not be the only decision maker in that time. It's always more difficult to not be emotional if it's your own money. So having appropriate advice, advice you trust and advice you understand, I think it's always important to also understand what the reasons are for making certain decisions or not making certain decisions in a portfolio. And then you can have peace of mind. Whatever happens in the world, you're okay. And I think there, the communication and the relationship with your wealth advisor is also very important to understand why we are making certain decisions. And also, I think to just communicate about things. Many times there are things in a country or in the news that would be politically uncertain or economically uncertain, for example, but it actually has no impact on the stock market. Scenarios like this also happen. So our country is the best example, I think, in terms of political uncertainty, load shedding, whatever it may be, there's always something interesting happening. But the stock market is doing really well, and there are very well-performing companies listed, which do not all earn their income in South Africa, for example. So just knowing that these are two different topics and to not let the noise overwhelm our decision-making.
Thank you, Alka, for joining us and providing such valuable information.
Only a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
That was Alka Brink, who is a wealth advisor at PSG Wealth. If you enjoyed the show, please follow us for the latest episodes, share the podcast with your friends, and download our episodes.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Money Rules podcast. To listen to more, go to moneyweb.co.za or the MoneyWeb app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates. MoneyWeb, your trusted source for business and investment insights.